Hey, everybody. Welcome to Raising the Remnant. I am Whitney Stadman, and I am so glad you are here with me today. I want to talk to you guys about something that I don't know how long this will be, but just I wanted to pop on here and share something I've been thinking about. You know, when we're talking about, you know, if you've been raised in the church, you have probably heard the verse that says, you know, we want our children to be, we want to be in the world, but we don't want to be of it. Which brings me to a topic about raising our kids to be set apart, right? A remnant is set apart. While also raising them to be real. They're living in the real world with real things going on. And I was raised in an amazing Christian home. Definitely a really good foundation of the Bible and what it means to follow Christ and know who he is. And I am so thankful for that. I'm sure my parents would probably even tell you, you know, they were pretty strict with us, you know, what we could watch and what we couldn't do. And we were also homeschooled. And so my husband, Jared, likes to tease me that we were raised like Little House on the Prairie. He's like, I'm pretty sure you made your own clothes and you know, didn't watch TV until you were, you know, in your 20s. And I mean, it's true. We did not have a video game console. My boys tease me all the time about how terrible I am at any kind of video game. We did not have any of that growing up. We didn't have a cell phone until we were 16 and could drive. So we weren't allowed to have one before that. My parents always felt like when you need a cell phone, that's when you'll get one. And so we were definitely, you know, pretty strict about what we could watch and what we couldn't and where we could go and what we could see and that kind of stuff. And on one side, I'm thankful for that, right? Because, you know, we did have a pretty innocent childhood. I didn't see a lot of big things. And I did feel like we really got to experience a childhood where we really used our imagination and, you know, I did have a great childhood and really my innocence, I always felt like my innocence was protected, you know. But as we got older, I really did feel like there was some culture shock for us in the world and just things that were real. And definitely, you know, we did not grow up in the state of California, and California is its own. It's just like its own country, honestly. And so coming here was quite the culture shock. When we moved here, I was 16, and there was just a lot to learn about life in the world. And then felt like there was, once we did really get out there and experience a lot of those things, it was difficult to try to navigate, you know, how do I be in the world but not of it, you know? And so my husband's story is he was also raised in a Bible-believing Christian home, but he went into a pretty, you know, rebellious, destructive path. And so he lived a lot of life and experienced a lot of things. And so both of us are kind of like, what's the middle ground to that? Not even the middle ground, like what? How do we equip our kids to live in the world that we live in with all the things coming at them? And yes, know their faith and know God, but also be able to be like, have good discernment, you know? And one thing I would say about discernment specifically, right? We want our kids to be wise, right? And I was thinking about discernment in terms of like, discernment is defined as the ability to judge well. And in the biblical context, that would also be like how to gain guidance and understanding and wisdom. So it's like at its very root, it's do you have the ability to judge well? And not only do you have the ability to judge well, but how do you determine what is wise and good and full of understanding. And so I feel like that's a better definition, right? We want to bring them into understanding. They want to have an understanding of what is around them, what's going on in culture around them, and be able to ask lots of questions. So I feel like one thing I would say about discernment is the ability to ask lots of questions. And so you can't ask a lot of questions if you don't ever expose them to anything that would prompt discussions. And one of those things for us has always been movies. Even from pretty young ages, you know, we always kind of let him watch a lot of movies. Like, I'm just going to be honest. And obviously every kid's a little bit different. My kids never, they never have really been like, that's scary. I mean, we just don't really do that in our home. And so for us, any kind of cultural anything, movies, TV, I feel like has always been approached as a tool to equip my kids. Doesn't matter what it is. Pokemon, going places with their friends, you know, as your kids get older, right? Like, I don't know if that's a good idea to go there. You know, could be okay and it might not be okay. And how do you traverse that with your kids? And what I would say is I believe that discernment, growing their discernment, their ability to judge well, their ability to be wise, their ability to ask lots of good questions comes and can start from a very young age as something you cultivate in your home. And for us, movies, TV, different toys, whatever that looks like, different friends. We've always tried to have kind of lots of different friends from lots of different types of walks of life because honestly, it's such a good equipping ground to have great discussions with your kids. And, you know, same thing for books or things they read. You know, we really, you know, unless I really feel like God's like, no, not that, we really try to have discernment as a family. And so it may be that I have a movie that I'm like, I don't think that's a good one to watch. I just don't have a good feeling about it. And there are absolutely times that I will put down my foot and be like, no, the Lord told me no. Like that, that's not good for you. And, you know, but I always tell my kids why. I always tell them what I feel like God showed me about that thing that's not good for them. But there are many times that I'm like, you know, I don't know, but let's watch it as a family and just practice discerning God's voice about that thing together. Because, you know, how many of you know that as your children grow and as they grow into adulthood, the stakes of what they need to be able to discern and have wisdom about and judge correctly with the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, the stakes just get higher and higher and higher. And I just really feel like if we don't teach to them to do that and cultivate a place where we practice discernment together, it becomes much harder for them to do that. As in the case of my life, you know, when the stakes are high and the things that you are trying to discern have bigger and bigger consequences attached to them. And so I'm going to give you a practical example. And, you know, I don't know, lots of people feel lots of different ways about Disney. You know, I think I could tell you all about my thoughts on that. But, you know, ultimately, they're not a Bible-believing company. I don't believe that that's their mission. And so their content absolutely reflects that, you know? So, I mean, don't go into situations blind with blinders on your face, right? I'm not trying to say that that company is like, you know, trying to help my kids grow in their relationship with Jesus. It ain't, right? But that doesn't mean that every single thing that they produce doesn't have, again, it's just opportunity. I look at everything as an opportunity to equip my kids and teach them who God is, because I believe that God does that to us. He says, I will use all things for the good of those who love me. That means every single thing that happens in your life, every experience you have, and a lot of those experiences are not easy. And I'm not going to say that they are, but he does promise to work through them with you, to teach you through them, right? To sharpen you through them. And that's the only way you really grow in discernment. That's the only way you grow in good judgment. That's the only way you grow in wisdom is to push into those places that maybe you're not sure about, or maybe, you know, there's some parts of it that could be good and some parts of it that might not be good for you. And, you know, some of it may be okay and some of it may not be glorifying to God at all. But in my family, we always kind of, I'll just say movies. When it comes to movie, we always kind of ask the Lord, do you feel anything specific on it? You know, you feel like we're not supposed to go. You feel like we are supposed to go. And usually 9 times out of 10, we're all on the same page, right? Like, nope, I don't. Like, but I'm going to tell you that I've absolutely sat in theaters and thought, this is not good. Like, straight up. I don't know about this, you know? And I'm going to be real with you. I usually will lean over to my kids and my husband and be like, what do you think about this? You know? And sometimes we've literally gotten up out of a theater together and walked out. And other times God has just used it to give us such incredible conversations about what they were sensing. You know, what do you think about that thing there in light of scripture? What do you feel like God would say about that? What were you feeling when you were watching it? You know, was it good? Was it bad? Like, what did you see? Right. And I feel like that's just been such a rich place for our family. And why do I think that's so important? Because I think discernment is necessary for a remnant. But you have to practice discernment, and you have to give your kids space to practice discernment alongside you. And I think that movies, TV, friendships, especially as they get older, places they're going to go, become really good training grounds for that. And so a practical example of that, my kids went with a very good friend of ours. They're like, we're going to go see Inside Out 2. And you know, all I checked it was just like, okay, you know, is there anything in there I should be like blatantly concerned about? You know, maybe, I guess that depends on the person. But for me, I'm like, you know, all the things that are in there are real. You know, I talk to my kids about puberty. I mean, that's kind of, I think I've said that before when it comes to sexuality and intimacy, like that's just a normal conversation in my life with my kids. You know, I listened to, just a side note on that, I had listened to a podcast from Lisa Bevere and Havila Cunnington called Moms of Men. And they were talking about, you know, making, you know, sexuality and puberty and those things, normal conversations in your home, because then it's not weird, you know? It's like, this is part of life. And not only that, it's a great part of life that was designed by God. And it is something they are going to have to navigate in their life. And so they had recommended these books. I'm trying to think. It's called The Story of Me. And they're books that actually start, you know, pretty early. I think it's like age 3 to 5. There's kind of like a range. And I've loved those books. They've actually been amazing. And so I did like the first 3 of them with my kids. And then from then on, it just has never felt like it was a big issue to talk about that. Honestly, they ask all kinds of questions. And sometimes I'll tell them, you know, I'll come back to you on that answer. You know, maybe, you know, that's, you know what I mean? But create space for them to ask you questions about sexuality, about their bodies, and it removes, again, any kind of shame or stigma attached to that, you know, that would be weird, or that they should be embarrassed about that, you know? And so kind of similarly to that, when they were getting ready to go see Inside Out 2, obviously, you know, there's part of the story arc of that is that Riley is getting older and she's the main character and she's going into puberty. And so she has all these new emotions. Well, one of the emotions that they have in there is anxiety. And I was talking to a very good friend of mine, and her oldest daughter was like, you know, that's such a weird thing to put in there because anxiety is not an emotion. And I really was like thinking about that. And I was like, so then what is it, right? Like And it really like caused me to think about this in terms of my kids, right? Like they, you know, in the movie, that's like a major part of the story is anxiety. And the way that the story, the movie depicts anxiety is it's basically like invasive thoughts. It's like replaying things over and over and over in your head so that you can't fall asleep. And then it makes your heart rate go higher and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yep, that's a pretty good depiction of anxiety. Except that God created emotions. He did. He created anger. He created all the emotions that are there, right? Anger, you know, fear. He created emotions. But and he never says not to feel sad, right? He says, I'm close to the brokenhearted. He never says not to show joy. He says, you know, David danced before the Lord, right? We are to, you know, you can leap with joy, right? My spirit leapt with joy, right? The Bible talks about your emotions as things that are created to be expressed. But it does say, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. And if God's telling you not to be anxious, then do you think it is an emotion he created you to experience? No. No, it's not. And so I was able to talk to the kids even before they went to go see it. I said, heads up, this is revelation. This is what I feel like God's been talking to me about today. That anxiety is not of him. He says, do not be anxious, right? He commands us not to be. And he says, like, come to me with prayer and thanksgiving and tell me what you need and let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 6 or 7. And so I was like, when you go there tonight to watch this movie, I want you to ask God about that. Like, how do you feel when you're watching it? And ultimately, they came home and they were like, the movie was really good and there was some funny parts. And they're like, but there were a lot of things we were talking about on the way home. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what were you talking about on the way home? And they're like, well, we were talking about anxiety and like how like, even in the movie, like it made me feel upset. Like I was like, oh, like that doesn't feel good. And I'm like, yeah. So if it doesn't, if that's not like good, it doesn't make you feel peace and it doesn't make you feel the fruit of the spirit. Do you think that that's an emotion God created you to experience? And they're like, no. And I'm like, so where does it come from? And they're like, well, it can't come from God. Right. And I think that those are things even in our culture right now today. Anxiety and depression are higher than they have ever been. And you know what it is? I think that we have accepted somewhere a narrative that that is normal and it's somehow this emotion that we all feel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Except that if you go to the Word of God, that's not what it says at all, which means we need to be equipping our children to spot things that are not only not in alignment with God's word, but also cannot be from him, and then teach them how to break up with those things. And so like we were talking about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, so what would you do if you felt anxious, you know? And I'm like, because, you know, you could just say, no, I'm not going to feel anxious, except that doesn't always work, right? And so we were talking about that, and the boys were like, we were just talking about different strategies, you know, and I was like, you could get a friend and be like, hey, that will you stand with me? Like, will you grab my hand and just partner with me to say, this is not of God. And wherever this is coming from, it's not of God. And I break up with it. I don't want it. I give it back to where it came from. Right. And I replace it with the truth of who God is, right? Which is the peace that passes all understanding, right? The fruit of the spirit, which is love and joy and kindness, right? Patience and gentleness. And that's what I replace it with, right? Because we're not talking about an emotion that can feel overwhelming that then we have to also bring before God and say, okay, Lord, why am I sad? You know, maybe you know, right? But sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know why you feel angry. Sometimes you don't know why you feel upset or hurt or, you know, and I feel like that's a different conversation than taking something like that the world would tell you is totally normal and instead taking that captive to Christ and saying, what's the strategy to reject this so that anxiety, which is not from you, doesn't rule my life? And I really feel, I mean, and I think there's a lot of things, you know, I don't think our body is separate from our spirit in that way, right? That we live in our body and our spirit, which is alive to Christ, lives in our body, right? And so obviously I think there can be foods and different things that don't agree with our system or stuff we're watching or, you know, caffeine can make us feel anxious. But I think it goes back to this place of like, again, discernment is grown as it is utilized. And so we have to create spaces for our kids, no matter what age they are, to have situations in their life where they're going to go places and do things and experience things that will prompt a space for discussion that then the discernment can grow. And it goes back to where are your rules coming from, right? Is it really about that movie or is it that you don't want to have the discussion? Which, let me just tell you, if they're not having that discussion with you, they're going to have it with somebody else. And I'm just not willing to give that. I don't want them to go all over the place, right? I want them to know that God is a God who is always with you. You can ask him anything you want. And I want to mirror that in my home. You can ask me whatever you want. There are some things I might not have the answer to that he'll alone have the answer to. There are some things that I might not be able to talk about in that moment, or I might have to think about it or, you know, ask God about it myself. But like, they can ask me anything. Because I ultimately want to be a picture of what God is to them. And I'm never going to be perfect at that. Which is why, again, you have to give them space to sit in that theater or that be in, you know, that friendship with, of course, you know, you can put boundaries around it, right? You don't have to throw them to the wolves. But like, you know, I feel like that's another good example. My mom, as we got older, there's four of us. And you know, I think it was my youngest sister had some friends that maybe weren't the best friends. And my mom, because she had grown in wisdom and discernment, having done this four times, I remember she had this strategy, and I thought this was genius. She said, I never told her that she couldn't be friends with that person. I just simply said, you can be friends with her at school, but I don't want her in my home because she doesn't honor what my home is about. And so therefore, you're not going to be going a ton of places with her, but you can be friends with her at school all you want. And through that, my mom was creating boundaries around my sister while also giving her the freedom to develop her own discernment about this friend. Was that friend good for me? Is that the kind of friend I want? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what ended up happening is that out of that freedom to create and cultivate a space to grow in discernment, she eventually came to the own realization of herself of being like, well, I want friends that I can bring home. And so I probably should find some friends that are ultimately going to be in alignment with what's allowed in my home. And so there was a lot less conflict around that. And that's just something to think about in terms of tactics. How do we grow their discernment? Yes, we want to create good, you know, healthy, safe spaces for them, but in order to grow in discernment, you gotta be able to test and approve what is good and right and lovely. And you can't do that if you're never up against the thing you're trying to test. And I want you to think about that in terms of raising a remnant who can discern and discern very well what is good, lovely, wise, healthy, etc. Thank you so much for